we thank our brother for coming and bringing the message and song to our hearts this evening. We trust that God will indeed bless us and meet with us. If you're too warm, don't be afraid to open a door or a window, whatever it is. But it is quite warm this evening. But I wonder if we could turn, please, in our Bibles to the book of Revelation, chapter 1. And we're going to read from the first verse of the chapter, the book of Revelation, chapter 1. And we begin our reading at the first verse of the chapter. Revelation, chapter 1, beginning our reading at verse 1 of the chapter. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, who bare record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, to him be glory and dominion for ever and ever. Amen. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, saith the Lord, which is, and which was, and which is to come, the Almighty. I am John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. And what thou seest, write in a book, and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus, and unto Smyrna, and unto Pergamos, and unto Thyatira, and unto Sardis, and unto Philadelphia, and unto Laodicea. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks, and in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. Write the things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. The mystery of the seven stars which thou sawest in my right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches. Amen. We know the Lord will add his blessing to the reading of his precious word to our hearts. Can we stand a minute for a moment's prayer as we seek the help of God tonight? Our loving and our gracious God, we turn to thee afresh in our Saviour's precious name. We do thank thee for the word of God to our hearts. We think of the vision that John had of the Ancient of Days, of the one who is the first and the last, the Alpha and the Omega. And we pray, Lord, that even tonight, that those that are under the sound of our voice might be introduced and brought near to the one who is the first and the last. We look to thee, the eternal God, and we pray that thou wouldst draw sinners unto thyself. For it is in Jesus' precious name that we ask these things. Amen. Amen. The book of Revelation is a unique one in many ways. It is the only book in the New Testament where the writer is told directly to write by direct command of God what God tells him. God appears to him here. It was written at the end of the first century when the church was facing great persecution by the Romans. They were under pressure to compromise in many ways. It is written by the last living apostle, the Apostle John, who gave us this book and also the epistles and the Gospel of John. He's writing here on the little island of Patmos, which is in the Aegean Sea, about 70 miles southwest of Ephesus. It was really a prison island at the time, and John is in exile. He is in prison, and he is there, as he says, for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. And as we say, it was written at a time when the fledgling church is under fierce persecution. This was the time of the Emperor Domitian, and Domitian was an arch persecutor of God's people. They were being blamed for all sorts of things. They were being blamed for cannibalism. People said that they ate flesh. They were being blamed for any disaster that took place in that day. Any untoward disaster was blamed on the Christians. And it came to the point where to be a Christian was to be the offscouring of the earth as far as the Roman society was concerned. Many were being taken. They were being put to the lions, or they were being thrown into prison, or they were being put to death. And it's a miracle in many ways that John, who is one of the leaders, of course, of the church, has survived to this point, that he's not killed. He's in old age now, but he's still alive. And he's alive because God has something for him to do. God wants him to write this revelation that has been given here, that is recorded for us at the end of our Bibles. And here he is, suffering, probably wondering what his future might be. But suddenly, into the midst of all of that, in the midst of the hardship and the hard labor that he's under, God breaks in. And God appears to him in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. This is the first day of the week. It is the day that God had given for his New Testament people to rest and to worship and to seek him. And it is significant that God comes to him on the Lord's Day. And what does he tell him about? Well, he gives him, first of all, a revelation of Jesus Christ. He shows him the Lord Jesus Christ. He reveals the Savior. Now, John, of course, had walked with the Savior. John had intimate communion with the Savior in his lifetime, and as the Lord Jesus walked in this scene of time. And we find that the Lord comes here, and he is able to meet these people at the point of their need. And God gives John a vision of Christ. And dear friend, what better encouragement could we have tonight than to see the Lord Jesus Christ? And particularly to any of you that are not saved in the meeting tonight, or those that are tuning in, those that are still in their sin, what you need to see is the Lord Jesus Christ, because he is the only Savior. He is the one who said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." And so, dear friend, it is imperative that you see the Lord Jesus Christ. You need to be like the Greeks of old, who said to the Lord Jesus, "Sirs, we would see Jesus." And if you can see him by the eyes of faith, if you can see him and as it were receive the blessings that he gives, then, dear friend, this will be a red letter night for you. So, just for a few minutes tonight, we want to look at John's vision of Jesus Christ, and we want to see what we can learn. And I hope that in some way you will be able to see the Lord Jesus Christ in a clearer manner. Let's look at what we see about the Lord Jesus here in this portion of Scripture. And the first thing that I want you to see is the service of Christ. Now look at verses 13 and 14. It says, "And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow." So you notice the one who is the Son of Man here, the Lord Jesus Christ, we are told that he is clothed in a certain garment, a garment down to the foot and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. Now what is that? Well, that is a high priest's garment. It is the garment of the high priest. And it's said here that the one who is the Son of Man is walking amidst the candlesticks. There is a reference to the temple and to the tabernacle. And the Lord is walking amidst the candlesticks. It says in verse 20 that the candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches. So here is the Lord in the midst of his church. But you can see that he's functioning as the high priest. And thank God that we have a high priest tonight. Jesus Christ is our high priest. And the high priest was one who stood between God and man. He was the representative of the people. You know that Israel's high priest used to go in once a year into the holiest of all in the tabernacle or in the temple. And they would bring the blood that had been taken from a goat that had been slain. One of the goats was let out into the wilderness as a scapegoat. But the other one was taken, and his blood was taken as a representative of the people. And then that blood was applied on the altar there in the holiest of holies. And of course there is a great picture there of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And he is the one who is our mediator. As the high priest went to God on behalf of the people, presented the blood on behalf of the people, so it is with our Lord Jesus Christ. He is our mediator. There is one God and one mediator between God and man, the Christ, man Christ Jesus. And dear friend, you need a mediator. You need one to stand and represent you before the throne of God. I wonder, have you got one tonight? Have you got someone to represent you? Because the only one who can do that is the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you don't know Christ, then, dear friend, you have no representative. He is the mediator as the high priest. But he also is an intercessor. We think of how the Bible speaks about the high priest as an intercessor of his people. In 1 John 2 and 1, it says, "My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous." And the question tonight is, do you have an advocate? John here in 1 John 2 and 1 is implying that you need an advocate, and you do. You need an advocate. You need somebody to intercede for you at God's right hand. And there's only one who can do that, and that is the flawless, faultless Son of God. You need a high priest. And thank God the Bible speaks about the Savior as our high priest. It says in Hebrews 3:1, "Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus." Do you know him tonight? Have you got an advocate? Have you got a mediator? Have you got an intercessor? For Jesus Christ is the one who will act for you before the throne of God, if you'll have him. If you'll have him. We see the service of Christ.
But then I want you to see the sovereignty of Christ. Because in the picture here, we've said that this is a picture of a high priest. But the robes also here are royal robes. And the robes are fine robes, they're robes of gold and so on. And if you were to turn over to Daniel chapter 7 and verse 9, you have a vision that Daniel was given. Now, John was given the vision here that is recorded in the book of Revelation. But if you turn over to Daniel chapter 7 and verse 9, and it says there, Daniel sees this, and I beheld till the thrones were cast down, and the Ancient of Days did sit, whose garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head like the pure wool. His throne was like the fiery flame, and his wheels as burning fire. Fiery stream is. And you go on down and you look at the voice of great words and all the rest of it. You go down that vision. This is the vision of Daniel of the Ancient of Days. And you just compare that with what John sees in the book of Revelation. And you will come to the conclusion that what they both see is the same thing. They both see the same person. So John is seeing the Lord Jesus Christ in the book of Revelation. Daniel is seeing the Ancient of Days in the book of Daniel. And he mentions the Ancient of Days three times in his book. And he is the one who is from everlasting to everlasting. He is the first and he is the last. And here is the Lord Jesus Christ as the Ancient of Days, the mighty God, the one who knows the end from the beginning, one who is deity and sovereignty, one who sits upon a throne. Here is the Almighty Savior. And dear friend, if you want a Savior, and you do, you need a Savior. You need a mighty Savior. You need a sovereign Savior. You need one who is able to meet you at the point of your need. There are so many today, and they're trusting infallible men to bring them through life and to inform them of what philosophy that they should live by. But here is one who is the mighty Savior, one who is able to deliver. Our God is able to deliver you. That's the message that we want you to get tonight. You notice his hair. His hair is white as snow. And that's a symbol, of course, of great age. Or it is speaking of the Lord as eternal. He is without beginning and without end. We need the eternal God. But also, it is a symbol of wisdom. In the Bible, the white hair or grey hair is not to be despised in any way. It is a glory. Proverbs 16, verse 31 says, "The hoary head is a crown of glory if it be found in the way of righteousness." And we think of the wisdom, the eternal omniscience of God. We read Paul writing in 1 Corinthians 1 and 24. He says, "But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God." So there are the two things, the power of God and the wisdom of God. We have a wise God, the only one who can devise a way of salvation. Men and women, we are condemned and we are deserving of nothing other than a Christless eternity. We deserve nothing other than hell. But God in his wisdom, God in his omniscience, was able to devise a way of salvation. And you know, men think that they can devise their own way of salvation. I have my own way. I have my own religion. Well, dear friend, you can't devise a way of religion or a way of religion or a way of salvation that's going to work. Only God can do that. And that's why we're not directing you to a church. We're not directing you to a religion or a denomination or to a preacher or a prelate or a pope or a pastor or anything else. The only Savior is the Lord Jesus Christ. And dear friend, his wisdom says, repent. for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He says, enter ye at the strait gate. And he is the strait gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. But strait is the gate, and narrow is the way that leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Oh, if you know anything of the wisdom of God, and God is to give you this wisdom, wisdom to cry unto him, wisdom to call unto him. But dear friend, the wisest thing that you can ever do is trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. We see here something of the sovereignty of Christ. But then look at the scrutiny of Christ. Look at verse 14. It says, his head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire. Here's the piercing flame of his eyes. And you can tell a lot by a person's eyes. You know how it was said of Leah in the Old Testament that she was tender-eyed. It obviously said something about her character and what she was. Some people said of Robert Burns, the Scottish poet, that he had the noblest eyes of all. Now, what noble eyes are, I'm not just quite sure. But anyway, they were saying something about his character. And as we look into people's eyes, we can see something about them. And as John looks at the eyes of the Lord Jesus Christ, as he looks at the eyes of the Ancient of Days, they are piercing as a flame, the white hot sight of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord addressing the church at Thyatira, later on in the book of Revelation, chapter 2, verse 18, it says, these things saith the Son of God, who hath his eyes like unto a flame of fire, and his feet are like fine brass. In Revelation 19, in verse 11 and 12, we read about the Lord Jesus coming in judgment with flaming eyes. It says, when I saw